Members who are not present are excused. Representative Gilmore was dealing with something in the poll office a minute ago. Representative Katz, do you have a bill for introduction?
It extends the rulemaking authority of the Board of Nursing relating to the administration of non-injectable medication to cover juvenile training schools. I think the juvenile training schools are in trouble. It appears that they're not covered by the existing language in the law, and we have to amend it to cover them just the way we deal with the other institutions.
Representative Katz moves that this bill, LC 2952, be introduced as a full committee bill. Is there objection to her motion? Hearing none, it is ordered that it will be introduced. Senate Bill 339.
Slow.
Yeah, we need it right now.
The Policy Subcommittee has sent forward Senate Bill 339 relating to legal aid. It is now before the full committee. Senator Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill which would provide some fees for legal aid. Nonprofit legal aid corporations and 25 corporations provide free legal services for the poor. Funding is from a variety of federal, state, and local sources, including a legal aid fee, which is added to the trial court civil case filing fee. This measure, which increases legal aid fees, partially offsets expected federal fund losses. Upon passage, legal aid fees levied in circuit courts will increase from $5 to $7.50, and in district courts from $1 to $3. For 8183, the recommended amounts yield nearly $1.5 million. Or about $860,000 more than the estimated amounts for 7981. Fee increases contained in this measure sunset July 1, 1985. This bill also calls for an interim study by the Commission on the Judicial Branch of Legal Aid Activities, Organization, and Funding. The Commission will report to the 83 legislature. This fee increase was reduced significantly from what it was as it passed the Senate. It passed the Senate with a very strong vote and then was referred to this committee from the House floor. We've worked on it. We've added the provision of the study by the Commission on the Judicial Branch, which should ensure that there is full information before this body when the measure comes up again following the 85 sunset. I urge your aye vote to send it out with the due pass recommendation.
Discussion of the motion, which is that the bill be reported out to the House due pass with the amendments on the printed agenda. Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, being a member of that policy committee, was very encouraged by the amendments that were offered to the bill. There was one amendment that was discussed, that being the sunset instead of July 85, but to change that to July of 83, in which I personally support for the following reasons. 2 years from now, I believe with this judicial study of the duties, activities, continuation or change in funding method by legal aid during the next biennium, I believed it to be much more appropriate at that time to once again bring into the issue or of fees and the areas in which the practice of legal aid, the discussion of what we're getting for the money, no matter how it is to come, through federal grants or fees. And I at that time urged the sunset date to reflect that as far as 83 instead of 85. The majority of the committee was not there, at least at that time, on that feeling. I wanted to bring that issue before this full body as a concern I have, and the reasons of which I will be opposing the measure on that basis. I am not opposing legal aid. Should make it clear that I'm not. I believe, as our Constitution does provide, there should be legal representatives serving all of our citizens. But I believe this question in the minds of the general public of their duties and how it's to be paid for, whether it be federal grants or fees or the general fund, have got to be dealt with and grasped with in the continuation of this organization.
Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion of the motion. Representative Jones.
Question of Senator Gardner, please. Senator, apparently the state pays these fees that you mentioned in this particular bill. Is that right?
The litigant pays the fees. The person that's the person that's litigating in court.
That's the reason I asked the question. It's supposed to be legal aid to the poor. The poor can't pay the fees. If they could, they could hire a lawyer.
They would get typically in a waiver of fees situation if they are poor. But it's basically a situation where those that are litigating in court on their own steam are kicking in a little bit extra so that the people that can't afford counsel to represent them can have some legal representation. It's a, if you want to call it, it's a tax on the users of the system so that those that cannot afford to use it can have some minimal access to it.
Is the balance of the cost then borne by the state?
No.
Nope. Borne by the users of the court system.
It seems to be, Mr. Chairman, there seems to be something lacking here yet. There's a gap here between what the fees we're talking about and how much money will be needed to pay a legal aid attorney. And I guess it don't look like I'm going to get that answer right now.
Well, the state general fund will not have any money in legal aid, and there is no money in this bill that is related to the state general fund. Now, that's true, but if the Highway Commission filed a condemnation proceeding in Malheur County to broaden the right-of-way, they probably would pay another $2.50 more than they would now to file that proceeding, because it's a civil proceeding and they're a civil litigant.
Now we're getting around to where some of the other fees are coming from.
All right. There's a, okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
No, he just wanted me to.
Senator Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize if the carrier told us how much, but I'd be interested how much new revenue is generated by the increase from $5 to $7.50 and $1 to $3.
It would be an increase. The 79.81 figures, which are the existing fee schedules, would yield $860,000 less than these fees. So the increase would be $860,000 more than the 79.81 figures. Is that right, Kay?
Yes. About $322,000 for the last year, and I doubled that amount.
Yeah. That's the amount of the increase attributable to this.
Okay. It is $260,000 of new revenue.
That's correct.
You're already collecting.
You're collecting $1.5 million minus that.
$7.50.
Right.
Thank you.
Chairman. Further question?
Yeah. I just don't quite understand the philosophy. You know, nobody likes to go to court. Usually the people who are in court are there because they're, you know, maybe you got hurt or you're trying to get your money out of the state industrial accident. It won't pay you or something like that. Why should these people be sorted out, ones that are already hurt or in trouble, be sorted out to pay for another class of people? Why isn't it, why doesn't this just come out of the general fund or out of some other court procedures rather than just to sort out the people that are in trouble. And you're asking the people in trouble to pay.
You could change it to get the bill.
You have a, I suppose if you, as a user of the system myself, or someone helps people, or is a user of the system, you have an argument there. It is, however, I think it's one that has traditionally been a fee-supported type of activity, at least on the in the state and local level. You have a justification that the users of the court system right now are only paying about 10% of the freight of that, of what that system is costing to operate. And the only other alternative is the general fund. There doesn't seem to be much of that around.
Well, why not attorneys who make fat livings out of it? Generally speaking, if I read the figures right, that the incomes are well over 50,000 as an average, and I think I just recently saw those, they're the users of it, and they're the ones who are going to receive the money. Why not put a fee on attorneys for filing onto them? Because they're the ones that are the users of the court. But I mean, it makes better sense than what we're doing now, instead of the poor guy who just got beat out of his radio or his TV set or something, and he's trying to recover it. And
those other fees are coming, John.
They're coming.
Another bill.
You're a day ahead of yourself.
The bar, the private bar, does contribute a great deal of time in terms of pro bono services already. And one of the excuses that people use for not supporting legal aid is, well, let's just leave it to volunteerism, you know. And the hard fact is that poor people have problems just like everybody else. They have divorce problems. They have property problems. They have problems with their landlords. If you don't adequately fund this, I think it would be great if we could find general fund money to do this, but we don't have it. It seems to be kind of short these days. And if you don't do it, those people are not going to get redress in court. And it's really as simple as that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, using that same philosophy, then why are we then attacking doctors and druggists? Druggists were giving $2.50 for putting out a $20 service. We have doctors who are refusing right now, I have some in my own county, refusing to take welfare cases because we don't pay costs. And why don't we do the same to lawyers then?
Well, I think most attorneys do take cases, pro bono cases. But I'm not sure if I
know what the word means.
That means for free.
It means somebody doing it for free. I've not heard about them.
Well, I think most of them do, and I guess you can only take so many because you have to make a living too. But a lot of people have used that argument for saying we don't need to fund this at all. But I'm just telling you, if that is the way you're thinking, what is going to happen is these people will not. They will be shut out of the system.
Yeah.
The bill passed the Senate with $12.50, where it now says $7.50. The bill passed the Senate with $3.50, where it now says $3. The bill did not have any review procedure in it when it passed the Senate. One of the reasons why Senator Ripper's questions haven't been answered again recently is because the program has been in effect for a number of years, several years, I think since 77, with $5 being collected on all fees in those counties providing legal aid service, but if they don't, then not collected. If your county doesn't have it, it's not collected. $5 was collected for the time from 71 until now. It is an example of an interest losing federal money and asking for a part of their support base, which had been there for 4 years or more, to be continued. There's a suggestion that this is a lawyer's bill. I don't really think so. If you would go to the legal aid office, you would find that it is the people who are on unemployment people who are poor for other reasons who are the ones that are seeking and obtaining the services of these particular attorneys. The point that has been made that it's the other folks who are plaintiffs or defendants who pay it is surely true. That's the way it's been since 77. One of the difficulties with this bill is that the poor are not liked. And sometimes they advocate things that are disagreeable to all of us, or many of us. So folks figure they can keep from those things from being advocated if there's no money for the poor to scream through the legal system. I suppose it's an exaggeration as far as Oregon's concerned, but I suppose that was part of the thinking in Los Angeles before Watts. I would have rather had them in court with a lawyer than in the streets with a torch. The question is which system they use to obtain relief. This is a way for them to use the system that everybody else does. It's not a good financing plan, but it is the one that's been in effect for 4 years and which was approved. The bill was sent to Ways and Means on from the House floor, and the House members can, if they desire to, surely speak to this better than I can, but it was a close vote about whether we come down here, partly because the House was questioning whether Ways and Means Committee would bring the bill back out. And that's what I have heard. I think House members ought to speak about whether there were assurances that the bill would return to the floor, and not me. There were 28 votes to keep it there.
Can I respond to that?
Surely, anyone who wants to.
I hate to speak for any of my colleagues, but Representative Lombard sits next to me, and when I needled him about his motion, he told me it was not his intention to kill the bill. It was his intention to bring the bill down here to be looked at with the entire fee, court cost fee bill, which I understand the policy committee did, and an opportunity for Representative Lombard to come in and testify to the policy committee, which he did. It was that's my understanding of the reason why the bill came down here. It's never been down here before.
I understand that Senator Ripper did vote no in the Senate. I don't mean to say he did. Senator Simmons was the other senator who voted no. The rest of the senators voted aye. Senator Meeker.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask a question. I think
We're just working out that.
Getting information. I'll ask a question while he's getting the information. I'd be curious to know what the federal funds lost. Or let's put it a different way. Compare the projected federal funds for the coming biennium in this area to the past biennium, which will then tell you the loss and how much an additional fee will make up of that loss.
All right.
And they're getting the figure.
Well, yep. And I happen to remember the testimony. Okay. The testimony was that the legal aid service nationwide, received $332 million for 1 year in federal money, and the most the expectation is at this time is $100 million compared for the same time period as they had $332 million last time.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Go ahead.
Our fiscal office estimates are that the gross loss from the federal fund will be on the order of $2.6 million. This would make up about 860,000 of that loss and would still leave between a $1.3 and a $1.4 million net loss to the program, to the state, even with these increases. So that's the kind of loss you're talking about absorbing. It will go nowhere near 1.3 to 1.4. You're nowhere near making up the total anticipated federal loss. You're backfilling with these fees just a little bit.
Is there further discussion of Senator Gardner's motion, which is that this bill be reported out of the House due pass with the amendments that are printed there? I think I ought to mention that in the policy subcommittee there were absences, and that the policy subcommittee, with six members present, favored using a 1983 date 4-2, but it would have taken six votes which were not there in the policy subcommittee to make the 1983 date. There's the argument that Representative Gilmore has made in favor of the 83 date. There is a different view of how that would work, worrying that they would, since they're going to be short and probably the federal funds cut more, come back in 83 and ask for more money, and it better to keep it stable for a four-year period instead of opening up the door. But that's just the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. And no one knows, I couldn't say that one view is any better than the other one.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to vote no. But I want to explain before I vote no, because I resented that some of our motives might have been impugned here, that somehow we hated the poor or something else in your explanation a few minutes ago. Slavery has been here since the time of the Romans. That doesn't make it right either. And if this was here in 1977, that doesn't make it right either. But to, that there were two of us that voted no, and to imply that our motives were one that we hate poor,
I certainly
we don't have somehow, I sure resent it.
Well, but I didn't say that about you. I said that all of us in society mm-hmm. do not like some of the things the legal aid people advocate, and I was trying to explain that. In any event, I would ask the members to vote on not the personality or shortcomings of the chairman, but the merits of the bill before us. If that were to happen, nothing would ever come out of the committee, and I freely recognize it. I just want the merits of the bill to be considered here. Is there any motion on the question of date?
Well, I would move it I'm not sure that we want to get in the practice of amending bills in full committee, and I would, I expressed my feelings, my reasons for non-supportal of the bill in the process that it, or the in the form it's in, because of the date.
Well, Mr. Co-Chairman, I will I certainly recognize that there is a point there, and it's just a question of who got the burden of proof, you know.
Exactly.
Because you can change it either way in 83.
Exactly.
But, what can I say?
Don't say anymore.
How many members of the committee would prefer to see the bill read 1983 so that the fee was only in effect for 2 years? Would it be all right to have a straw poll? Everybody prefer to see it?
Only if they vote the bill out of committee, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think that may be implied. In part.
Well, it was by me.
Right. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to. I don't care. Yeah. I'm not limiting my request. Anybody prefer to see it read 83, please raise their hands.
I think. Oh, I'll let you sure.
Yeah.
Well,
83 instead of what?
It's a very, very close question. There are six who raised their hands and might have been more.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I hear you say that if you raised your hand, it implied that you were going to vote for the motion
no.
to move it to
someone
the
else said that. I didn't say that.
Okay. No.
I didn't say that.
Well, just 83 instead of 85, Al.
Okay. I was just trying to get a sense of the committee.
I'll vote for that.
All right. The chair moves that the bill be amended to read July 1983, where it now says July 1985. Discussion. That is his amendment, an amendment to the motion made by Senator Gardner, and it would be
for the bill.
a further amendment not shown on the agenda. I'm hopeful we are in the latter days, and that does mean that we're occasionally going to have to catch or change or try to accommodate our true sense, our true feelings in full committee. And for that reason, I think the motion's in order. Is there discussion? If not, all in favor of that amendment to the amendment that is in the agenda will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no.
Representatives Katz.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
No.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Burbage.
No.
Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Gardner.
Nope.
Senator Roberts.
Roberts.
No.
Presiding Chairman.
No. What is the count?
Nine.
Well, the House passed. I don't understand.
Prevail.
Well,
I've
got to do
it.
Ten ayes, and it prevailed. The question is on the main motion as amended.
I'd move it.
Further discussion? If not, those are the opinion the bill should be sent to the floor of the House as amended, including the amendment just adopted. Will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
No.
Van Vliet.
Aye.
Jones.
No.
Riebel.
No.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Burbage.
Aye.
Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
No.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. Progress is possible.
I'd like to express my appreciation to the chairman and the committee for that unusual feat, which I personally don't think should happen, and that is many bills in full, recognizing the need for this bill and the importance of seeing that it continue on its way. I would like sincerely to express my appreciation to the members.
Chairman.
And you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I would like to also express my appreciation to the House Co-Chairman for his concern for this program.
I keep my word.
Yep.
Go ahead. Van Vliet is excused for business of the House.
Can I
see somebody
be excused?
They'll go pretty fast. House Bill 2868, optometry. Representative Riebel recommends the bill be reported out to the House to pass. Representative Riebel.
House Bill 2868 provides for reduced registration fee for retired or disabled optometrists who are not practicing. Their fee would be reduced from $70 to $35. The reduced fee will allow a non-practicing optometrist to maintain contact with his profession without paying the same fee as a practicing optometrist. The change would result in an $1,100 reduction in revenue for the 1981-83 biennium. This reduction can be absorbed within the ending balance, and the Board of Optometry is in support of the measure. We recommend it's passed.
Further discussion? If not, call a roll on the motion.
Representative Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Riebel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Burbage.
Aye.
Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. It is adopted. House Bill 3240, relating to law improvement. Representative Gilmore moves the bill be reported to the House with the amendments on the printed agenda.
Thank you. House Bill 3240 establishes the Law Improvement Committee and charged with responsibilities of supervising an ongoing substantive law revision program. The committee's membership will consist of the co-chairs, legislative council, the dean of Oregon's accredited law schools, and their designees, the representative of the Oregon State Bar Attorney General's designee, the chairperson of the legislative committee on other judicial matters in the preceding regular session. The amendments intended to minimize the fiscal impact of which this bill was sent down here for, in providing committee memberships shall receive no compensation and will be reimbursed only for their actual travel expenses, and which should be small, subject to the availability of the budget funds within the Legislative Council Committee budget. I recommend it report back to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion, if not, call the roll.
Representatives Katz.
Aye.
Cherry.
Aye.
Lindquist.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Rebel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Senators Burbidge.
Aye.
Potts.
Aye.
Ripper.
Aye.
Meeker.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Gardner.
Aye.
Presiding Chairman.
Aye. It is adopted. House Bill 3289, Financial Administration of Corrections Division of the Department of Human Resources. Representative Lindquist moves the bill be reported to the House. The general fund, as you can see, is printed on the agenda at $1.3 million. Representative Lindquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3289 appropriates $1.3 million to the Corrections Division for additional salary costs in the 79-81 biennium. These costs result from the recent Court of Appeals decision, which upheld an arbiter's award for the AFSCME 79-81 collective bargaining agreement contract. The award tied salary increases to changes in the Portland Consumer Price Index and resulted in salary increases substantially above the 79-81 OSEA level. The funds included in this legislation cover only security personnel. The state is appealing the extension of the award to non-security personnel who are not prohibited from striking and who therefore are not included within the binding arbitration